Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Because of the accusations of false prophets that had come into Corinth, later many of the believers there were affected negatively towards him in an effort to draw the church away from their enjoyment of Christ and back to the Old Testament practice of law-keeping. These ones claimed that they were the real apostles and that their knowledge and gifts far surpassed those of Paul. So because many in the church were confused and no one stood up for Paul to make his case, Paul himself was compelled in the final chapters of this book to make his own boast and to defend his genuine apostolic authority. What he reveals to the church in Corinth in chapter 12 is some of the most remarkable speaking in all of the New Testament. For Paul himself tells of the incredible and mysterious visions that the Lord had permitted him to see in an effort to rescue the Corinthians. Bill Lawson has joined us for our fellowship today. Bill, this chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, one of the most mysterious and hard to understand in all of Scripture, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Chris. Very difficult to understand and yet very experiential in the life of Paul. It's really good that we can get further into this chapter today.
Talk a little bit about this battle, in a sense. Paul refers to it earlier as kind of a warfare that's going on here between he and these ones that we have come to call Judaizers, these false apostles that had come into Corinth and were really undermining his authority and really damaging the work that the Lord had accomplished there. Talk a little bit about that so that our listeners really understand the context of what we're going to get into today.
Well, we've seen in the past few weeks that the Judaizers, they may have been genuine believers, but they were surely distracted by the law, things of Judaism, and they may not have been believers. They may have been ones who had a very good knowledge of the Old Testament, yet not genuinely regenerated. Yet because of their influence and their way, they really did a job to confuse a lot of the genuine Corinthian believers and undermine Paul and his ministry. Paul, of course, being the very one that brought these Corinthians to the Lord. So this was very difficult for Paul in that some there raised up under his ministry were being turned away from him and his ministry. So Paul is really fighting a battle to bring these distracted Corinthian believers back to Christ.
And because these false ones, the Judaizers, had boasted of their knowledge and even compared themselves favorably to Paul, putting Paul down in a sense, Paul now is forced to, and as we have seen in some of these chapters, beginning at chapter 10 and 11 and now today in chapter 12, he is making himself foolish, as he says, to make his own boast. And of course, the real tragedy here is that none of these ones that, as you said, Paul had led to the Lord, had raised up, stood and testified on his behalf. And so Paul is left having to make this defense on his own. And that brings us to the context of where we're at today. This matter in chapter 12, and I'll just read a couple of these verses at the beginning of the chapter to somewhat set the stage, and I think it now will help the listeners to understand what is transpiring here. So Paul begins in verse 1, "To boast is necessary," he says, "though indeed not expedient. Yet I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." And now verse 2, "I know a man in Christ 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I do not know, or outside the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught away to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or outside the body, I do not know, God knows, that he was caught away into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not allowed for a man to speak. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on behalf of myself, I will not boast, except in my weaknesses. For I desire to boast. I will not be foolish, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone account of me something above what he sees me to be or hears from me." And Bill, I think we should just point out, all of the Bible scholars and interpreters agree, this is Paul talking about himself in a kind of third-person way. He says, "I know a man in Christ." The man there he's talking about is really the Apostle Paul himself in Christ, isn't it?
Yes, it is. This is definitely refers to Paul himself. For himself, Chris, he cannot boast, because if he boasts, he's afraid that he will be outside of Christ. But he says, I know a man in Christ. So he's speaking as a man in Christ, and there he can boast not on behalf of himself, but on behalf of this man in Christ, who is really our pattern that we should be today, men in Christ.
Well, let's join Witness Lee, then we'll get a chance to come back and touch these matters again so that we really can make clear this important matter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's Witness Lee.
This portion of the word is really excellent. Paul's purpose in writing these 10 verses was to show the Corinthian believers that he was very much knowledgeable. He not only got the knowledge of human life on this earth, and he got the knowledge of the things in the heavens, even in the third heaven. And he got to know, not only to know, but to see. He got the vision of the things in the hidden part in the paradise. You see, by these, the follies of the Judaizers may have been fully exposed. If the Corinthians would compare what Paul got to see and what the Judaizers got to know, they would say, well, you Judaizers are just so superficial. You just got a little bit of knowledge of the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law, all the old traditional rituals and so forth. But look, here is a man. He not only has the full knowledge of the New Testament of God, not only the knowledge of the human life on this earth, you see, he was there in the third heavens, and he saw the things there. And he was also there in paradise, in the concealed part of this universe. He was there, and he saw all the things there. I believe this was the top of Paul's boasting. You just consider, had there ever been such a man since human history? Only one. That was Jesus. In the whole universe, since human history, there had been only these two persons, Jesus and Paul. Who can compare with Paul then? No possibility. What you Judaizers have to say?
Well, Bill, here the comparison, I think, is quite obvious. But what is incredible is what Paul is revealing here, that at some point in time, 14 years prior, he's telling the Corinthians and telling us that he was somehow caught away to the third heaven and even to paradise. And we'll get into what these really represent in a few minutes. But the point is that no one save the Lord Jesus himself, except Paul, had ever had been exposed to this kind of vision. It's really remarkable, isn't it?
This is a remarkable section of the word here, Chris, as you say. For someone to boast like Paul could boast in, not in himself, but in the fact that he had been carried to the three parts of this universe, is truly remarkable. Of course, Paul was a man on the earth. He knew the things of the earth. He was educated. Yet he was taken to two other places that only the Lord Jesus himself was. He was taken there to the third heaven, where the Lord is today. And he was also caught away, the scripture tells us here, caught away into paradise, which is in the heart of the earth, in the lower parts of the earth, the exact place where the Lord went after his death and burial. So here Paul is boasting of an incredible experience of having seen the entire dimensions of the universe, and yet he's doing that to show to these Judaizers who claim to have some kind of knowledge that their knowledge just pales in comparison to Paul's experience of traveling to the entire universe. It's really just remarkable.
It is astounding and remarkable. Okay, you said a moment ago here, and this is where we're going to focus in this next section, that Paul was carried to two places. And as we read these verses, let me read verses 2 and 3 and 4 again to set this up, because this may be very, very new. to most of those listening. It's not the most common interpretation of these verses, yet if we look at them carefully, as we will today, we'll realize this is quite clear. Verse 2, such a one was caught away to the third heaven. Verse 3, and I know such a man, whether in the body or outside the body, I do not know, God knows, that he was caught away into paradise. So we have the conjunction and really indicating that the third heaven where Paul was caught away to in verse 2 is different from the paradise that he was caught away into in verse 4. And we will explore that mysterious matter in this coming section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Paul here said, I know a man in Christ. Of this man I boast, but of myself I don't boast. Actually, this man was Paul. Paul told us that he knew a man in Christ. That man in Christ was he himself. Okay, two things happened to him. It happened in a way very mysterious. Even Paul himself cannot tell us whether he was in the body or outside the body. It was mysterious. He himself was not clear. Anyhow, these two things happened. Number one, as the new man in Christ, one day this new man was caught away. Caught away to where? To the third heaven. And this is a kind of a Hebrew expression. The third heaven simply means the highest heaven. And where? God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, are. Then verse 3 says, and you must stress this conjunction and. Because most of the expositors of the Bible, they consider these two things as one. Paul was called to the third heaven, number one. And he was called also to the paradise. Don't think the paradise here is a synonym to the third heaven. No, no. Because in between, you have the conjunction and. And this indicates that what happened was not one thing, but two things. Firstly, he was caught away to the third heaven. Then he was caught away to the paradise. Well, you know, when the Lord Jesus was dying on the cross, in Luke 23, one of the two thieves asked him, Lord, remember me in the kingdom. The Lord says, tonight you will be with me in the paradise. Tonight you will be with me in the paradise. We all know after the Lord died, he didn't enter into the third heaven. No, he went to a place which he called paradise. So Paul, on the one hand, he was caught away to the third heavens. And on the other hand, number two, he was caught away to the paradise section of the Hades. This man Paul, he got the full knowledge, the full view of the entire universe. I entered into the heavens, the third heavens, and I entered into the Hades, the concealed section of the universe. My, what view is this? So no wonder he says the transcendence of the revelation.
Well, Bill, we have to spend a little time on this. I think no doubt this is absolutely new to many, many listening, to consider that paradise does not equal the highest heaven, the third heaven here, and that actually paradise is a section, a segment of Hades. Talk about this.
This is quite interesting, Chris, here, because I think most believers, including myself and my background, being taught in a very fundamental way, I always considered as that paradise and heaven, third heaven, are exactly synonyms. But here, Brother Lee make a marvelous point here that this little conjunction and separates verses 2 and 3. His first experience, of course, he was a man on the earth. He was familiar with the things on the earth. But in verse 2 there, he talks about being caught away to the third heaven. Then in verse 3, he mentions another completely different experience than in verse 2 in being caught away to paradise. So just this little word and here, this conjunction and, separates two experiences of Paul, and it also makes it clear that there are three sections of the entire universe. The earth, as we know it, then you have the third heaven, which is where God the Father and Christ the Son are, and then you have a place under the earth, or what the Bible calls the lower parts of the earth, showing that there are three separate sections of the universe.
He brought up a good confirming passage here in Luke 23, the Lord Jesus on the cross dying there, and of course the two thieves, one on one side and one the other, and one of the thieves expresses a kind of belief in the Lord there and recognition of who the Lord is and said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. And the Lord's word to him was, today, we heard Witness Lee say tonight, but I think, you know, accurately that would be today, you will be with me, or you will see me in paradise. We know that when the Lord Jesus died, of course, he went into Hades, didn't he, for 3 days before he rose up.
Right. Even if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 9 and 10, Ephesians 4 and 9 says that this, now this he ascended, what is it except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? So Paul makes it clear in Ephesians 4 and 9 that when the Lord died and was buried, and then before his resurrection, he descended to the lower parts of the earth. So when the Lord spoke that there in Luke chapter 23, today, you know, the thief will be with him in paradise. That paradise is the same place where the Lord went after his death and burial, and that is the lower part of the earth, because that is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, talking about Jonah, that he went to the heart of the earth, that the Son of Man would go to the heart of the earth, and that is the section of paradise, which is the hidden part underneath the earth.
And that would certainly indicate a pleasant section of this lower part of the earth, or Hades, where the believers are kept until the Lord's coming.
Right.
Just not enough time nearly to get into this in detail. We have one more portion of Witness Lee today that we want to get to, and then we'll come back to have a couple more minutes at least to touch these matters.
For a human being, a little man by the name Paul, to see such a view is risky. It's dangerous. Even with Paul, the danger was still there. What is the danger? That is, after you receive such a transcendent revelation, you would surely uplift yourself. You would be proud. The Lord, he was sovereign. On the one hand, in order to enlarge his apostle Paul, the view to an universal extent, he brought this one to the heavens. He brought this one even to Hades to broaden his view, to enlarge his sight. And the Lord knows this is risky. This will spoil Paul. This will damage Paul. You see? Right after this, the Lord sent him a thorn, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him all the day, to cause him pain. For what purpose? For the purpose just to put him down. Saints, to be in the hand of the Lord is not a simple thing. After lifting you up, the Lord's hand puts you down. This is all the Lord's doing. Oh, Lord, lifted up Paul to the heavens and sent him down to the Hades. And right away, the Lord put his thorn upon him. Whenever you would think about all the high visions, the wonderful revelations, you're going to be proud the thorn works. When the sun works, the grease supplies, sustains, and the power overshadows you. What it is to make you experience this wonderful, all-extensive Christ. Then you will be full of the experiences of Christ. So here is a man full of visions, full of sufferings, and full of experience, and full of enjoyment of the Lord. The Lord just becomes the grace to him, the power to him, the spreading tent to him, overshadowing him all the time.
Bill, this is a packed portion. We could spend, I think, the whole program on each of these three sections. I know we maybe just created more questions than we gave answers in the last portion, touching this matter of paradise being the pleasant part of Hades. But let's spend the last minute or so that we have. Here's Paul. Every reason to be proud, to be puffed up, I mean, having had this incredible supernatural experience. And the Lord has a way, doesn't he, to deal with anything that might puff up even the great Apostle Paul.
Right, Chris. This portion of the Word, especially Paul here, is really doing a marvelous job to clear up his status and his ministry and to help the distracted Corinthian believers. He begins by boasting not in himself, but boasting in Christ. And then he boasts that he has seen all corners of the universe. So compared to what the Judaizers claim to have, their knowledge, this was almost ridiculous compared to where the Lord brought Paul. But even after the Lord brought Paul to these three places, surely if Paul is in his old man, he would boast that he knows everything. He's been to all the parts of the universe, so he could boast in himself. But because of this, the Lord gave Paul a thorn in the flesh to restrict him, to humble him. So this also is another vindication of Paul's apostolic authority. How could the Judaizers compare with Paul? Paul has the vision. They don't have the vision. Paul has revelations. The Judaizers don't have those kind of revelations. Paul has the suffering here. Paul has the grace. Paul has the overshadowing strength to remain in that suffering situation and enjoy this all-extensive Christ to the uttermost. So how could the Judaizers compare with Paul? So Paul, again, is doing a masterful job to bring the Corinthian believers to reconcile them to God.
Thank you, Bill, for your fellowship today. We'll look forward to your next visit with us.
Thank you very much for listening.